I invite you to turn, please, over to the book of Acts, the third chapter. Acts chapter 3. My text will be verse 26. Would like to read verse 11 down through verse 26, which is the end of the chapter. We are in Acts chapter 3. I begin reading in verse 11. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham, and of Isaac, and of Jacob, and the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up, and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot not that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers, but those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the time of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel, and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, And in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Notice, unto you first God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. We arrive once again and are at the holiday season, which we call Thanksgiving. It is a special time dedicated for each of us to be mindful of the blessings which God has bestowed upon us, and in turn we give thanks. Now, we need not thank God for the Indian assistance to keep us from starving during the harsh New England winter, but we ought to thank him for the blessing which eventually resulted in the establishment of this nation. And certainly there are many other reasons whereby we may give thanks. But without a doubt, we should acknowledge that we are a people which has been greatly blessed of God, not only as a nation, but as individuals. Now, I did not say that God has given us all that we wish, but that he has indeed given us what we need. In fact, he has extended to us more than we deserve, and we receive much more than the multitudes around the world. You know, America is really a blessed nation. And the poor people in America have much more than the poor people around the world. You just need to recognize that to be true. May I say that it is proper for us to give thanks to God. And as the song says, count your many blessings, name them one by one. But there is one blessing today that far exceeds any other. And it is this blessing mentioned in our text and is the subject of my message. I speak to you from Acts chapter 3, verse 26, a message which I've entitled, We Are Blessed to Be Christians. If you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that's the greatest blessing you'll ever receive. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the day and the privilege of being in your house. Our heart goes out to those who would love to be here and could not due to sickness and providential hindrance. We ask that you would bless them. And Lord, heal the sick. And Lord, you know the many needs we've prayed and asked in regard to them, and there are so many on our list that we didn't name them all by name, but you know, and we cast them at your feet and pray your will be done. But we've come together today and we desire to worship you in spirit and in truth. And we thank you for these that are here. And Lord, just lift up our hearts to you. Help us to understand your word. Make it very clear. We pray that you'd work it in the hearts of those that are lost, especially that they might see their need of Jesus Christ. And that, Lord, today they might be saved. We ask for you to work and to move and to bless and to convict and to draw. And Lord, we pray your will be done. And may we who are saved certainly recognize that the salvation we have is indeed a great blessing. And so we give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. And we ask that your will be done. We ask it in Jesus' name. And amen. We are blessed to be Christians. Now the verse of our reading today gives the contents of a message that was preached by Peter unto a crowd that had gathered unto the lame man. And he was healed. Now the apostle aptly spoke about the Son of God, Jesus. We read those things. And he reminded them of how they killed the Prince of Life. And yet this Jesus had risen from the dead. Peter gives credit to the resurrected Lord for the healing of that lame man. He then continues speaking about Jesus and exhorts them to repent and be saved. In verse 19 we read, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." He then went on to warn them of the consequences of their unbelief. He then reminded them that Jesus had been sent to bless them. Frankly, I cannot think of a greater blessing than the one spoken of in our text. And the blessing to which I refer is, of course, the matter of salvation. Salvation, knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, better yet, Him knowing you, is indeed a blessing. And so we want to digress upon this concept about the fact that we're Christians. That's a great blessing from God. Turn, if you would, to the book of Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. We are saved today. Salvation is a great blessing because, number one, without it, we are under a curse. Remember what it was before you were saved, when you were lost and when you were undone. And if you're lost yet today, this is your condition. Galatians chapter 3 and in verse 10 says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." God has given His Word. God has given the commandments. And you know, the truth of the matter is, if you do not fulfill all those commandments, then you're under a curse of those commandments. And the fact is, you have not fulfilled all of those things. And so what that means is that those outside of Jesus Christ, and before I was saved, I was under the curse of the law. But I'm so glad that I'm saved. I'm so glad that God gave me eternal life. What a blessing it is, because that curse has been removed. If you would, go back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 says that before we were saved, we were alienated from God. So we were under a curse. We are alienated. We are foreigners to God. Chapter 8, book of Romans, verse 7 says, "Because the carnal mind," the fleshly mind, that's an unsaved person, "the carnal mind is enmity or warfare against God. For it is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be." My friend, we were away from God, enemies of God, before we were saved. If you would remember John chapter 3 and in verse 18, you're certainly welcome to turn over there. We were under a curse. We were alienated from God. We were under the condemnation of God, we read in John chapter 3 verse 18. "He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." God. That's what we were before we were saved. What a blessing it is to be a Christian. To be brought from death unto life, from darkness unto light, and from blindness unto sight. What a tremendous blessing of God. We were under a curse and we were alienated and we were under God's condemnation. And that condemnation will just lead us to death. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death. Because you sinned against a holy God, you deserve to die, not just physically, but spiritually forever in a place called hell." Oh, my friend. But if you've been born again, if you've been saved, you're no longer alienated. You're no longer under a curse. You're no longer under condemnation. You've been passed from death into life. Boy, what a great blessing. You can gain the whole world and lose your own soul, Jesus said. And yet there are so many in this world doing all that they can to gather all the world that they can. And you know what? They're going to lose their soul. I'm so glad for God's grace and mercy bestowed upon my life that He changed me forever. He took me from that condemnation. He took me from under that curse and gave me eternal life. What a tremendous blessing. If you can't be thankful about anything today, dear Christian, you ought to be thankful for the salvation you have in Jesus Christ. If you would, go over to the book of Romans chapter 3. Salvation is a blessing because without it we are under a curse. Number 2, salvation is a blessing because salvation is wholly unmerited. That is, salvation is undeserved. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Every one of us are sinners. We were born that way and we lived our life like that. And you say, "Well, I've only made mistakes." No, my friend, the Bible says you're a sinner. And we've already indicated that the penalty for that sin is death. Now, as a sinner, do I deserve to be forgiven? Do I deserve to be cleansed? I would remind you that what's being discussed over in Ephesians chapter 2. Stay there in Romans chapter 3 because we're going to look at a few verses. But over in Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 3 tells us that when we were lost, before we were saved, we were by nature the children of wrath. That's who we were. That's what we deserve. And so we didn't have any goodness in us, no spark, nothing that whereby we might be chosen of God to be loved of God. No, my friend, we didn't deserve this matter of eternal life. We didn't deserve that great blessing that He has given to us. And boy, what a tremendous blessing it is. But it was unmerited. But now there in Romans chapter 3, I invite you to look a little further. Not only is it the fact that we're sinners, but I believe what the Bible teaches, in theology we call it total depravity. In verse 10 down through verse 12, it says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." That means, dear sinner friend, that you're not going to seek after God. You're not good. You don't have anything to offer God. You don't have any merit whereby that He might give you eternal life. You are totally depraved. Before I was saved, I was totally depraved. But God is the one that made a difference in my life. And I think it's important to emphasize that total depravity extends even to the will. Because what we find in a modern Christianity, in some aspects, we have those who say, "Well, we believe that we're sinners and we believe that sin has affected us, but it doesn't affect our will. And so therefore I can choose to do this and I can choose to do that." My friend, sin has infiltrated every aspect of our being and it affects our will. Remember, we were by nature children of wrath. We were children of disobedience, it said in that passage. And so, how do we respond? We respond according to our nature. And so I think it's important to realize that, hey, if I'm dead in trespasses and sins, if I'm a child of wrath and a child of disobedience, sin has affected every aspect of my being, how can I ever think that I can merit salvation? That I can do something to earn God's favor. How can I think that? I can't. It would be wrong for me to think that. But I would direct your attention a few pages over in Romans chapter 5. That we are classified as being ungodly. But the good news is also found in this verse. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6 says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." Frankly, I'm glad that I'm ungodly or was ungodly because that's who He died for. And if I had some merit, some favor, some kind of thing that I might be able to generate, it's not likely that I should, but well, I wouldn't have eternal life because I'm dependent upon myself. Christ died for the ungodly. Dear sinner friend, I want you to know today you're lost, you're undone, you're dead, and you cannot fix that. Only Jesus can give you eternal life. Only He can bring you from death unto life. You must repent and believe on Him. That's it. And there's no work that you can do. Joining this church will not get you to heaven. Following a God in scriptural baptism will not get you to heaven. Treating your neighbor right will not get you to heaven. Giving money to us is not going to get you to heaven. Any work that you think you can come up with, you cannot merit heaven. You're lost, you're dead, you're undone. And that tells me, hey, since it was undeserved, then oh, what a great blessing it is that He gave it to me. I didn't earn it. I didn't deserve it. But yet He saved me. Salvation is indeed a blessing. Turn, if you would, to chapter 10 of the book of Romans. Number one, salvation is a blessing because without it we're under a curse. Number two, because salvation is wholly unmerited. It is absolutely undeserved. Number three, salvation is a blessing because it establishes our eternal condition. You see, before I was saved, I was lost and undone. I was headed to a devil's hell. That would have been my eternity. But now I have a new destination. I have a new eternal condition. Look at Romans chapter 10 and in verse 9. To know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, to be saved by Him, gives me eternal life. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Since we believe, we have eternal life. Look at verse 13. Since we trusted Christ, we have eternal life. Verse 13 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Go back to chapter 5, book of Romans, and look at verse 1. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. You see, God gave us life. We believed and we've trusted in Him. And we've been justified. Boy, that word justified is a legal declaration that we've been made righteous. That's what I needed, was righteousness. I didn't have anything to offer God. By the way, and let me remind you of this. If you think that you can, well, turn your life around and get your ducks in a row and live a good life and then God will receive you, you've got to remember where you've already come from. If you could quit sinning right now and never commit a sin the rest of your life, do you know where you would go? As a lost person, you'd still die and go to hell. Do you know why? Because you've already sinned. You've already transgressed against God's commandments. You're already under the condemnation of God. But when we're saved, we've been justified. We've been declared righteous. The righteousness of Jesus Christ has been credited to my account. And so I'm saved. I have eternal life. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, that's the only way you can get peace with God. It's not through your religion. It's not through your good works. The only way you'll ever find peace in your heart is to be justified by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you believe, if you've trusted, if you've been justified, then you have eternal life. Remember what it said in Romans chapter 6, verse 23? Well, I quoted you the first half of the verse where it said the wages of sin is death. But the rest of that verse says, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I was dead, I was lost, I was undone. But God gave me life through Jesus Christ. That's the greatest blessing ever. I can't think of anything greater than that. Do you remember what it says in John chapter 3, verse 16? Ah, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You see, Jesus is our only hope for salvation. He is our only way to eternal life. And salvation is a tremendous blessing because what it has done is that it has established my eternal condition. I will see Jesus face to face. I will be in heaven one of these days. Why? Because He saved me. And so we read those verses and think about those things we just referred to about the fact that you've believed or you've trusted on the Lord Jesus Christ. You've called upon Him. And, He has given you eternal life. You've been justified in Jesus Christ. What a blessing to have a home in heaven. Turn, if you would, then to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, number 4. Number 4. Salvation is a blessing because it alters our present life. You see, salvation is not just a cure-all for the next life. It's also a cure-all for this life. I mean, when He saved me, He changed me forever. He made a difference in me. When we read there in the text in Acts chapter 3 and in verse 26, he says, He brought you this blessing that you would turn every one of you from your iniquity. Away with this concept of, well, I'll get saved and I'll have a home in heaven and I'll just live my life my way. And I'll do whatever I want and I'm free from the law and so I'll just sin as much as I want. The Bible doesn't teach that. This matter of being blessed in salvation has changed our hearts forever. Not just for eternity, but for now. And that's a great blessing that God has changed our present life. Dear Christian, reflect back before you were saved. You remember what it was like? Remember how you lived? Remember the things that you did and places you went and people you hung out with and all your life and what you thought about, what was driving you, your purpose, your focus, your objectives, your worldview? Remember all that? Aren't you glad you don't have that anymore? Aren't you glad that you still have to deal with the flesh and you still have to deal with the old man, and that's a real plague to us in some regard? But boy, to be free and to have eternal life, the change that Christ has wrought. And I've said to you many, many times, and this is not original with me, I'm not everything I ought to be, but I'm not what I used to be. God has made a difference in me. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Why, salvation has changed our present walk. Can you just consider, think about back in the Old Testament scriptures when they lived for 800-900 years. Can you imagine what it would be like to live in your sinful condition for that long? How horrible that would be. The drunkards and the adulterers and the fornicators and all the other kinds of sins you might come up with. Can you imagine living like that for 800-900 years? How horrible just to live an extended life in sin. I'm so glad that God saved me, but He changed me. What a difference He has made in my life. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And therefore, if you would turn to Ephesians chapter 2, what we read in the passage is that we who are saved, we ought to live a different life. And Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 records this for us. It says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." What is God's desire for me as His child? That I would walk in good works. That's what He has ordained that I should do. I would remind you of what Jesus said over in John chapter 14 and in verse 15. Jesus spoke and He said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." That's what we need to do. Do we love the Lord Jesus Christ? Then we ought to desire to keep His commandments. I won't be perfect. I won't live perfect life in this world. But you know what? I'm not what I used to be. God changed me. What a blessing not to be like that anymore. What a blessing to be on the narrow path that leads into heaven. And the desires have been changed. And we want to walk in good works. And we want to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn, if you would, to the book of Colossians chapter 3. We noticed this in our adult Sunday school class this morning. Truth is, as a believer in Jesus Christ, we ought to place an emphasis or a priority on spiritual things. Before we were saved, we didn't care. We had fruit in those things that ended in death, we're told in Romans. But now that we're saved, our life is different. And it has altered our present life. And we ought to place a priority on those spiritual things. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and verse 2, it says, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth." What a joy. God has changed my life completely. He has given me eternal life, but He has also altered my present life. That's a great blessing. Isn't it for you? If you'll recognize it, you'll know that it's true. Then I'm going to look at Mark chapter 16, a very familiar passage, but I want to pass on to point number 5. And the fact that salvation is a great blessing to us because it has an effect upon those who are around us. You see, in Mark chapter 16 and in verse 15, we were told that we are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Since God has given me eternal life, since He brought me from death unto life, and since He changed my present life, you know what? I can be a witness to those people who are about me. I can share Jesus to my family. And I can share Jesus to my neighbors. And I can share Jesus to my co-workers or absolute strangers. I can be a witness. What a blessing it is that I can impact the lives of others by sharing Jesus Christ, by living a life that God would be pleased with. Turn, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 1. I would encourage you, dear Christian, if you recognize the fact that you're saved and you recognize this tremendous blessing that God has given to you, would you live your life as an example for His sake? I pray that you would. Because we want to be an example unto others. And perhaps we don't have all the theological concepts under our belt. Maybe we haven't understood all the things of the Word, that maybe we might be fearful to be a witness and a testimony. I would encourage you to learn. I encourage you to grow. I encourage you to read God's Word so that you would know. But I'll tell you, you can always live a life. People can look and see how you live. They see your responses. They see your thought patterns. They hear your words. All that we might have an example before others that we are believers in Christ, that He has really given us this tremendous blessing of eternal life. Oh, may others see that and know. 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 12, we read this verse and Peter writes to these Christians and tells them that they ought to war against the flesh and war against the things of the flesh and abstain from those things. He says in verse 12, having your conversation or your lifestyle honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. You realize that lost people will give honor and glory to God in the recognition that true believers really were in their midst? That's what it says in the text. God will be glorified when lost people will have to confess, you know what? I did see Christ in them. And they did have a different life. And they did have a different speech pattern. I'm amongst people all the time and they'll tell a dirty joke and they'll apologize. They'll cuss and they'll apologize. I'm glad for that. I want them to know that I'm a preacher. And I want them to know that I'm a Christian. I want to be an example unto them. And I want to live the kind of life that God would have me to live. You see, it's just a blessing from God to have eternal life. And the fact that I can be an impact or an effect upon those people around us. What a blessing. God didn't save you just to sit you aside. God has saved you so that you would influence other people. So point number five is I thank God for the salvation He's given to me because it's such a great blessing because I can have an effect upon those around me. Number six, salvation is a blessing because it does have a positive impact upon society. Now, I don't have any verse references here. We just noticed in the text about our conversation or our lifestyle among the lost. But very simply, just think about it. If you're saved, you know what? You're a better person. You know what saved people will do? Saved people will endeavor to keep the laws of God. You know why? Because we love. The love of God is in our hearts. We want to love other people. And Romans teaches us that love is the fulfilling of the law. So I might have been a liar before I was saved. But when God saves me, you know what? By God's grace, I quit lying. I might have been a thief before I was saved. But by God's grace, well, now that I'm saved, I don't steal anymore. You get that? You see that? If I was an adulterer before I was saved, by God's grace and by His mercy, He gave me eternal life. I'm not an adulterer anymore. You see, that makes a difference in society. Because if people would quit breaking up marriages and quit committing these kind of transgressions and out there robbing and killing and all these kind of things, well, we're a better people. Christians ought to be a better people, a better citizen. And we ought to have a positive influence upon those around us. Well, that's a great impact. Isn't that a blessing? I'd much rather be around those who are saved. I'd much rather see the people in our government be saved people. The Bible tells us that when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked rule, boy, it's a great mourning, isn't it? Wouldn't you rather have the righteous? Who are the righteous? Those that are saved. What a blessing it is to know Jesus, to have eternal life. The fact that I not only can have an impact around those people personally, but I can have a positive impact on society. Do you know why? Because I'm the kind of person I ought to be for Jesus Christ. That really is a blessing of God. Turn back, if you would, then to Romans chapter 4. My last point is this. I submit unto you that salvation is a great blessing. And this may, in some sense, be a repeat of the fact that it's unmerited. But you know what? Salvation is a great blessing because it is a gift by grace. I said that it was unearned or undeserved. And that's how it is. I'm saved simply by the grace of God. Not because I was good. Not because I offered God anything. But simply out of God's own love.
He gave me eternal life. And I didn't earn it. I didn't deserve it. But I'm saved by grace. Wow, what a blessing. To receive the grace of God.
Paul mentions some of this in Romans chapter 4. Look at verse 6. Even as David also describes the blessedness of a man unto whom God imputes righteousness without works. Remember I talked about justification and the righteousness of Christ being credited to my account? You see, I'm blessed because God has imputed righteousness to me without any works. Saying, verse 7, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Oh, my friend, isn't salvation a great blessing? The Bible says it's a great blessing. Peter said it was a great blessing. And so, hey, we're blessed if God will not impute sin, but He's imputed righteousness unto us. Turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You see, this salvation is by grace, and it's through faith. And well, Jesus is the one that secured the matter of salvation. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I would remind you of the gospel statement here in verse 3 and verse 4. Paul writes to the church at Corinth and he says, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's how I'm saved. It was Christ who died, was buried, and rose again. He gives eternal life to all who believe. And I'll tell you, I'm saved by the grace of God. Turn, if you would, back to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. I mentioned a second ago that it was by faith.
It is not by my works. It is not by my own generation. It is not by my religion. I am saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ apart from works. That's the only way the Bible teaches you can have eternal life. And what a blessing it is to have that eternal life. Ah, this is by grace, is it not? Galatians chapter 3, verse 11.
Talk about faith. This is what it says. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. So if you think you're getting to heaven by your good works and keeping the commandments, look at that verse again. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. The just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree.
I deserved hell. I deserved judgment. Christ died for me, that I might be redeemed from the curse.
You see, it's salvation by grace. If you go to Ephesians chapter 2 then, a few more pages over, Ephesians chapter 2.
By grace through faith and not of works. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and verse 9 says, for by grace are you saved, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm going to be in heaven one of these days, and it's not because of anything that I've done, all because of the grace of God.
And if anybody says, wow, you're in heaven. Yeah, not because of me, but by the merits of Jesus Christ. There's no other way. Boy, what a great, tremendous blessing. Go back to Romans chapter 3, and I'll close with these verses. Romans chapter 3.
That being said, salvation is the greatest blessing ever because it's a gift of grace.
Jesus secured it. We receive it by faith. It's not of works. Salvation has been given to me. If you've been saved, salvation has been given to you. Listen, if you will, or look at Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. You just can't do it. But look at verse 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Do you understand? Especially those of you who are still lost. Your greatest need is Jesus Christ. You're lost, you're undone, you're dead, you're headed straight to hell. You cannot fix it.
But praise God, Jesus Christ died for the ungodly. And you can have eternal life today by the grace of God. Would you repent? Would you believe as God moves on your heart, convicts you of your soul of your sin? Would you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you trust Him? Would you be saved? I believe that salvation is the greatest blessing ever. And there's a reason to give thanks, isn't there? There's a reason to give praise and worship to God. It's because you're saved. You say, well, I've had a rough, shaken life and things just not been good for me. But if you know Jesus Christ, you have everything. Really, truly, you have the greatest blessing ever. Dear sinner, you recognize you don't have that blessing. I point you to Jesus today. Peter told those people that Jesus came to be a blessing, to turn them away from their iniquity, that they might be saved. And dear friend, today, you can have the greatest blessing ever. The unspeakable gift, that which is provided for us in Jesus Christ. Right where you are, would you call out to God for mercy? Would you ask Him to save you, to change your life forever? I believe that He will. Let's stand. The invitation simply is this, right where you stand, as God works in your heart, convicts you of your sin, draws you by the work of His Spirit, all that you would repent and believe, that you might be saved today. Let's stand and we'll pray. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the opportunity to share your word. Thank you so much for saving me. Thank you for giving me eternal life. I didn't earn it. I didn't deserve it. Yet you love me. That's the greatest blessing ever. Thank you so much. I give you the honor and the glory and the praise. Thank you for the opportunity that I can share that testimony with these that are here and those that shall hear online. And I pray, oh God, that you would have an impact upon them through this testimony and through these verses, that the lost might be saved, that you would bless them as you have blessed me and so many here today with eternal life. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Number 326 is the song. 326.